الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا, سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من قولي والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى, إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح, يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد, الحمد لله. Yesterday we covered the narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his wife in which she was sitting, Juwayriya radiallahu anhu, sitting in the same spot for many hours. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed her that after he had left her from the house and had come back many hours later, all he had done is he had said four statements, four words that were, if she were to recite it, she would find that to be more weighty in her scale than everything that she had recited before that. And throughout those four or five hours. So we understood that this was praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the powerful praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. That this is, as we said, like a hack, quick hack, that through this a person is able to get huge rewards that otherwise would not be available. And today, inshallah, we'll be covering another hadith. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه وعن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ بيده فقال يا معاذ والله إني لا أحبك, والله إني لا أحبك. فقال أوصيك يا معاذ لا تدعن في دبر كل صلاة تقول اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. وأوصى بذلك معاذ الصنابحية وأوصى به الصنابحية أبا عبد الرحمن. So in this hadith, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took him by his hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him by his hand and he said, O Mu'adh, indeed, wallahi, indeed, I love you. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop there. Instead, he mentioned this again. He said, O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand and he said, لا تدعنا في دبر كل صلاة. Do not forget to say after the end of every salah. Like we just performed salah right now, Asr salah. Do not forget to say, do not leave out to recite, Allahumma, O Allah, the dua, a'inni, assist me, ala dhikrika, to remember you, wa shukrika, to thank you, wa husni ibadatik, and to worship you properly. This is the story here. We understand the akhlaq, the amazing humility and humbleness of the Prophet ﷺ, his beautiful character with his Sahaba, that he took the hand of his companion Mu'adh. And then he says, إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ, that indeed I love you. He expressed his genuine care and concern for Mu'adh. And from this we understand that when a person has genuine sincere love for someone, then they should inform him of that. And this helps build relationships and cleans the heart, especially when someone wants to give advice to someone. You want to make sure that the person who's receiving the advice appreciates it. And when they know that the one who is giving me this advice, he's saying it from a vantage point of love and care and concern, not from a point of trying to find fault and highlight someone's shortcomings, but rather because of the love they have, they are sharing this.
then they are more than likely to listen. So this is one of the etiquettes of generally how we're supposed to live with one another, that we should have muhabba and love for one another, and that we inform someone that we have muhabba for them. And then, third thing is, if especially when we are going to give them advice, that we should preface it with saying that this is my genuine care and love for you. That is why I'm telling you this. The problem is that people don't have clean hearts. Number two, they don't have love for one another. And then number three, they obviously then don't also go out of their way to guide anyone. So you see, all these problems are happening in the world. Multiple mistakes are happening. Nahi an al-munkar is not taking place. And when nahi an al-munkar takes place, people don't like it, because many times it's not coming from a place of muhabba, love and concern. It's only fault finding. And then, who is going to say that he loves someone if it's fake? You can tell when something is fake, when something is sincere. So if we can simply just keep our hearts clean for one another, that would be a huge achievement. But that's not it. We have to take it to the next level. Anas radiallahu anhu, another companion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was with him. And he said, Ya bunayya, O my dear son, إن قدرت أن تصبح وتمسي وليس في قلبك غش لأحد ففعل. If you're able to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night without having any type of ill feelings in your heart for anyone, then ففعل, do so. وذلك من سنتي, that is my lifestyle, that is the way I lead my life. ومن أحيا سنتي, whoever revives my sunnah, فقد أحبني, he has expressed and shown his love for me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي, and who has expressed his love for me, كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ, he will be with me in paradise. What a beautiful hadith. That having a clean heart for each other is a sign that we have sunnah in our life. And the one who revives sunnah, he is loving Rasulullah ﷺ. And the one who loves Rasulullah ﷺ will not only be in Jannah, but will be with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah. So, muhabba and love are not cheap, false, free claims that a person can make and that get him anywhere. Muhabba is steeped in ittiba. Love is entrenched in ittiba. Many times you'll see our elders and our teachers, they do not have maybe necessarily large gatherings of praises of the Prophet ﷺ where everyone's sitting together on a regular basis, and they have oud. And there's some fruits and some tea and a whole, you know, setup. They don't have that. But these are people who are reading 5,000, 10,000 salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ a day. And you cannot find anything that they do in their life that is against sunnah. That's the key thing. And we're entered a weird era right now in which, love is, a lot of it is on presentation. How you present yourself, and what are the type of, you know, gatherings we participate in, and that equals ittiba. When a person who's participating in that gathering from top to bottom, unfortunately there's no sunnah in his life, haram is being done on a regular basis, fara'id are not there, but people have a desire, shauq, I want to sit there, and they can sit there, but that's not going to get us anywhere. What's going to get us, by us gathering in certain places, it's not, you know, it's not going to solve the problem. Instead, ittiba' wa sunnah is what is most important. If you enter and you gather in a place like this in which there's no bid'ah, there's no mixing, okay, that's fine. But a person should not think that simply my participation in these type of gatherings, because there's always a feel-good phenomenon. It feels really spiritual, as they say. It feels spiritual. Just because something feels spiritual doesn't mean anything. Right? People who are smoking dacha and marijuana, they feel spiritual too. They feel high. So this is not, that's not a basis of how we're feeling. Reality is ittiba. There has to be ittiba in our life. Okay, but then there's another extreme. The other extreme is that there's so much focus on ittiba that there's no focus on mahabba. That a person is all about rules, 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 but does not focus on any aspect of love. That there are people out there who cry. Maybe you don't cry out of love for Rasulullah. Maybe I don't. But guess what? Someone does. So they cannot take it that someone comes to the grave of the Prophet ﷺ and cries. He doesn't understand that. Someone comes and stands in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and reads out beautiful praises and poetry that they read from a book or they themselves authored. They don't understand this because they're very dry. It's all about do's and don'ts. So we have to stay away from both extremes. There has to be ittiba', there has to be following of sunnah, but then aha has to be coupled with also love. And this is so beautiful, the deen that we learn from our teachers and our elders. So much moderation in it. So much moderation. And you see outside of that, so many times there's extremes. All going out one side, going out the other side. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that He makes us from men and women of moderation. So keeping our heart clean is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is my sunnah and my way of life. And if you want to be with me, you cannot be with me without loving me. And if you want to love me, then you need to revive my sunnah. And from amongst those, foremost amongst those sunnahs, is to have a clean heart and not allow shaitan to come and put wasawis and whispers in our mind regarding our Muslim brother or sister. This is a beautiful hadith of related, and this is a story between Rasulullah SAW, a story and Anas. Now coming back to Rasulullah SAW and Mu'adh, he says that, Ya Rasulullah, you know, he tells Rasulullah SAW, I love him. So another man, it comes in hadith, a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Inni uhibbu fulanan, I love someone. فَقَالَ أَعْلَمْتَهُ, have you informed him? قَالَ لَا, he said, no, I've not informed him. قَالَ قُمْ فَأَعْلِمْهُ, he said, go and express it to him. فَلَمَّا أَعْلَمَهُ, when he informed him that he had muhabba for him, قَالَ أَحَبَّكَ الَّذِي أَحْبَبْتَنِي لَهُ, may that person love you for whom, may that being love you for whom you have loved me. I told you, أُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ, I love you for the sake of Allah. What's the other person? What is he saying? أحبك الذي أحببتني له أو أحببتني فيه. May that Allah for whom you have loved me also love you. What a beautiful response. So there is number one. What we learn from here is that the aspect of loving one another for the sake of Allah is important. And how important? A hadith, famous hadith, سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ, seven people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him them a shade. Fi dhilli, under his shade. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلَّ, a day when there will be no shade besides his shade. From amongst those seven people, وَذَكَرَ مِنْهُمْ, he mentioned, رَجُلَيْنِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ, two people who love one another for the sake of Allah. اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ, they gather to one another for the sake of Allah. وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, and then they part ways with Allah's name. They came together for the sake of Allah, they part ways for the sake of Allah. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِي, where are those people who loved one another out of my, for my sake, for my grace, for my greatness? Who are those who loved one another? Where are they? الْيَوْمَ أُضِلُّهُمْ, الْيَوْمَ أُضِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي, يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلِّي, today I will give them shade in my shade, on a day when there is no shade besides my shade. In another hadith that you might hear many times mentioned at the beginning of the bayan, many of our Arab scholars mention this beautiful hadith. Wajabat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hadith Qudsi, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbaini fiyya wal mutajalisaini fiyya wal mutazawirina fiyya wal mutabadhilina fiyya mutahabbina fiyya. My mahabba is incumbent. My mahabba is wajib, is necessary. I have to love those people who love one another for my sake. Number two, wal mutajalisina fiyya, who sit with one another for my sake. Number three, wal mutazawirina fiyya, who visit one another for my sake. Wal mutabadhilina fiyya, and those who give one another for my sake. Those people who have these actions amongst themselves, loving one another, sitting with one another, visiting one another, and giving one another. One of my ustads, Mawlana Muhammad Dudat, rahimahumullah, passed away a few years ago on my last trip, not the one January one, the previous trip from when I went to South Africa. And we were leaving Darul Ulum Zakaria, and he heard we're leaving, so he said, come visit one, you know, final time. He was already gotten old, so we went. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed to have our sons with us too. So it was so nice to go visit our honorable Ustad, He invited us to sit down. He had cut some mangoes. And he, you know, showed so much love to our sons and to our students. And then he said, you know, it was you know, when it gets cute, like, I mean, subhanAllah, they're so old and they're not, you know, but they have these certain things that, of, you know, I remember we knew how he was 25 years ago. Very, you know, Jalali, you get upset, this, that, so different now. And so he mentioned, people say, I like three things. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I like itar also, I like milk also, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala put the muhabba of women, right, as well, these things. So he said, from amongst those things, he said, I love, you know, visitors. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Dudat Sahib, he said, I love visitors. I love meeting Muslims, you know, welcoming the believers. And it was such a beautiful, yani, final gathering we had with him. And that was our final gathering in madrasa. And a year after that, he passed away. But subhanAllah, the idea of, yani, you have no ulterior motive. You just enjoy spending time and visiting and meeting and speaking and sitting with other Muslims for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very beautiful trait. It's not, it's about why, like Umar radiallahu anhu, if I remember correctly, that he would go visit the marketplace. Why would he go to the marketplace? To go simply go say salam. To go say salam to the people. And to recite the La ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumeet, bi yadihi al-khayr wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. That could be a dua for another day. That million dollar dua. That one who recites this dua in a marketplace, he gets 1 million good deeds, 1 million levels increase in Jannah, 1 million sins forgiven. This is only for a marketplace. Because marketplace is a place of ghafla and heedlessness. And so the one who goes to a place of heedlessness and then glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, his reward is different. So the Sahaba would go times just to visit one another. There's no reason but to visit for the sake of Allah. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq to do this. That we call each other, text one another, see one another, say salam to one another for no reason but the fact that we are fellow Muslims. Right, that's it. There's no other reason behind that. This was imagine if this becomes a norm in our community. And this should become the norm. May Allah make us all from amongst those people who do this every day. Look at the crowd that's coming for Taraweeh. Look at the crowd that comes for Iftar. Half of the people, I'm not sure where they're from. You don't know them either. But subhanAllah, he doesn't know you, you don't know him. But if we all just quietly eat our pakoras, how is that a community? If we quietly eat and munch on our food, no one knows. He's looking at you. He's like, he's probably a new guy. You're looking at him. He's probably a new guy. Who's? Or he's thinking you're from here. You're thinking he's from here. We don't know who's here. If we want to build a true Muslim community, we have to enjoy saying salam to one another. We have to enjoy spending time with one another. Enjoying asking, how are you, bhai? Where you come from? I'm from here. What brought you this side of town? Or maybe he lives right down around the corner, but never gets a chance to come to the masjid. Now that he's coming to the masjid for iftar, this is not a drive-through food pantry. There's nobody here who doesn't have food. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We're not in Sudan, we're not in Gaza, we're not anywhere else. Alhamdulillah, we have tons and tons of food everyone has at home. No one comes to the masjid to eat because they don't have food. It's supposed to be a sense of community. But if we just simply eat and leave, or pray and leave, a community can never get built like that. And this is something we need to change. Women, men, we love to stick around with our own cliques. Women are also very cliquish. They'll say salam amongst their own people. And men also, you know, they just mind their own business, as they say. Came here, did my prayer. You'll see how people rush out of the masjid. We need to have good, healthy communication and discussion. Not inside the prayer hall, but in the lobby, in the outside area, vestibule, whatnot. But there needs to be healthy communication. So I encourage all those who are listening to me today to spend an extra couple minutes. It's rewarding. I promise you it's rewarding. Unless you have to catch a flight, you don't need to run. You sit in the tafsir after Taraweeh. If you cannot sit, and because you just simply don't have what it takes to sit in the tafsir, okay, you can listen online. But before you leave, spend a couple minutes saying salam to some new people. All right, welcoming them. And if you are new as well, then you say salam to others, and this is how you're going to build a community. Many people, this place is a place of new people. This masjid is very few people are here from decades. Most of the people who are sitting here are actually people who are muhajir, who did hijrah. And I could say maybe 90% of the crowd that's sitting right now in front of me, or 95%, are also Muhajir. Okay? I don't know who's here 15 years ago when Darussalam was built in this neighborhood. Besides, I'm not sure who's here from that time. Okay? So this is how this place is. This is a place of Darul Hijrah. People come make Hijrah here. But we all, that's why we have to understand that if we want to feel that we're part of the community, some people complain, man, I don't feel like welcomed. You know, the change starts with me. The change starts with me. Right? You agree with that? What do you say? You start saying salam. How often are you going to say salam to someone? Assalamu alaikum, brother. And he looks the other way. I know that's happened to me a couple times in Jola, but besides that, you know, if you say salam to someone and say, hey, what's your name? My name is this and that. Which guy is going to say, no, I don't want to talk to you? So everyone is thinking, oh, he's mean. He's mean. He's stuck up. No. And then they all think I'm stuck up. It's not like that. We are just lost in our own little worlds of our phones and our social media and our whatever else. And we're forgetting to see who's in front of us. So I encourage all those who are listening to please make a habit of intermingling with people. Downstairs in iftar, before you go, say salam. Upstairs when you're coming back, after maghrib, you say salam to people. Yes, we don't say salam to everyone after every salah. This is not sunnah. When sometimes people do it, like it's found in the Arab world, for example. It's done with such level of religiosity that honestly most people think it must be wajib. If not wajib, it must be sunnah mu'akkada, that to say salam. The person you came in the same car with to the masjid, you don't need to shake hands with him after salah. Yes, if someone's new, for sure, you didn't see him, say salam to him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at all these mashallah beautiful hadith we were able to cover today. On the aspect of loving one another, what type of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving? What greater reward? He's going to give you a spot under His throne. He's called Ahabbul A'mal, the most beloved action to Allah. What else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my mahabba will become necessary and obligatory for the people who have this type of relationship with one another. And the effort of da'wah and tabligh is one of those beautiful efforts where you go knock at someone's home. He says, wait, do I know you? No, I don't. Am I related to you? No. You're from this area? No. You're from a different country? Yes. How? Why are you here? This is it. It's to revive this aspect of loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is bringing food to the masjid, serving. But do I know you? You don't know. Nothing in common. But this is called love for the sake of Allah. Remember when I was sharing with you, with some of you who heard my memoirs from Malawi. For those who didn't hear it, just want to mention one point. That these were some businessmen, young, mashallah, wealthy young men, whose wives and presumably cooked food, put it in their pots, and they asked me to jump in the car if I wasn't doing anything. I said, yeah, I'm available. So we jumped into their SUV, and they drove about an hour into the village. An hour. Through the most bumpy, muddy roads you could have ever seen. Like, you know they have these those competitions, what's it called? The giant dump trucks? Or no, what do they call those? Monster trucks. You know, and dirt, those monster truck type of field. Or you can think that those dirt bikes that they have and those dirt cars, what are they called? Rally cars? Rally cars. I was sitting in the back and saying, are you okay? I'm like, brother, people would pay to get a ride like this. Because we're in an SUV, it had some special shocks on there. And we're going through mud roads. It's not a road, it's just a mud in between fields of crops to get to a random masjid. And after an hour going through rain, going through this unbelievable level of subhanAllah, yani mud and rain, we got lost. We found one brother on the street, some villager, told him, jump in, we'll pay you, guide us to this masjid. He also got lost. Then, you know, Google Maps is not going to work there much. It works very, you know, choppy. Eventually we came to this small masjid. And in this small masjid, it was Maghrib time. We're supposed to get there before Maghrib. We got there at Maghrib. There's a hand pump well there. There's just a bunch of mud huts and a small masjid in between. I would say maybe 100 square foot, maybe 150 square foot. No lights, no electricity. A simple masjid. And lo and behold, there's six brothers waiting to, they were talking to the locals. And subhanAllah, we came, we took out the garam hot food, gave it to them. These were six brothers who had come all the way from Palanpur, India, in Jamaat, to this village. And out of the six, four of them were ulama.
And I'm just shocked. Like, what am I seeing over here? Like, really, you came from India all the way to this village. Can you imagine how long the journey was? Just from one city to come to the village took me over an hour. And subhanAllah, we gave Adhan al-Maghrib. We led the salah there. They had a bayan in the local language. All the local Africans were sitting. It was only the six brothers from India and myself, and, you know, the brown people. The rest were the African black people. And the bayan was in Chichewa, in the local language. And then they made tashkil for 4 months and 40 days. And yes, three brothers gave their name for 4 months. But six brothers or five brothers gave name for 40 days. And the rest of them for 3 days. I had this, like, I was overwhelmed with emotion, honestly, sitting there. That, like, literally the ikhlas of Mawlana Ilyas just got me. I was just thinking, like, how special was Mawlana Ilyas, rahmatullah alayhi. And that I may have shared this before, but it's just something I'll share many more times, this story. Because it really was a very powerful moment for me. To think, like, how do I compete with him? Like, you know, because I do. I have the desire. Like, okay, Mawlana Ilyas did this amazing work. Why should we stay behind? Why can't we do something amazing and bring a revival? Hence, we have this year's annual retreat. April 26th weekend is going to be about the revivers. Because we're going through some unbelievable era of fitna. And we need a reviver. And we need not one reviver, many revivers that can take from the revivalist movements of the past century and beyond. And that's why we are covering this in this year's retreat. So, Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi is someone I really look up to, and I'm mesmerized by the work he did. But sitting there, it just took it to another level. It's like when Umar radiallahu anhu, we're not Umar, none of us are Umar. We're not even the, you know, equivalent to the dust of his shoes. But there was a moment in Tabuk when he said, okay, forget it. Like, I can't compete with, you know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I brought half of my wealth, man, that's a lot. And when asked with Abu Bakr, how much did you bring? He said, what do you mean, ask me how much did I leave? Right, I left only Allah and Rasul at home. Everything's gone. He said, that's it. I said, you can't compete with him. So there are moments when you realize there are some people are just a sabiqoon. They're just meant to be at the front. May Allah make us like that. When was the last time you and I even prayed for that? When was the last time you and I made intention for that? How are we going to ever get there to the front row if we don't even aim for the front row? So anyway, the point is, what were these people doing with their own hard-earned money, bought thousands of rupees tickets? And they're ulama. Why are they sitting in that village? They told me they went to 13 villages so far. And every place is just like this. These African local people. You can't eat their food. There's no electricity. There's no running water. It's unbelievably difficult situation. All this hadith apply there. That these are people who love one another for the sake of Allah. I know some people get irked by people who go out in khuruj. I get this question every single week on my Tuesday night tafsir. Is it wajib to go? Is it fard to go? I'm like, man, there's a time and place for answering that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But the idea is, remember, those people, we're sitting here, we're all of us sitting here right now, listen to me, or you're listening in your kitchen or you're driving, wherever you are, it's because someone made effort on you. I'm not saying that person went in Jamaat and made effort on you, no. Someone somewhere made effort on you, on your dad, your mom, grandmother, grandfather. And that's why we're sitting here today as Muslims, listening to the talk of deen. If everyone was nafsi, nafsi, me, myself, and I, we would be atheists, agnostics, Hindus, Buddhists, Christians. Allahu alam, what we would be. Effort was made like the Sahaba made effort, the ones who came after them. So we cannot go out in khuruj. We cannot go for 3 days. Okay, don't go. But my brothers, please do not speak ill of those who do it. Because this is something that is done only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are they bad apples? Of course they're bad apples. And guess what? Some of the largest, worst bad apples we have within Islam itself. If you were to look at Muslims, many reverts will say, if I interacted with Muslims before I saw Quran and Islam, I would never become a Muslim. I've heard this myself from reverts who are ulama. From reverts who are ulama, they have told me this. Had we come across Muslims before Islam, we would never been a Muslim. So if you think effort of da'wah and tabligh has got bad apples, and you say we should bash it for that, well then, what is your response for someone who says, I've seen so many bad Muslims, why should we even remain a Muslim? So those are not representatives of Islam, we say. And similarly, these people who have sins or mistakes or bad character, these are not representatives of this beautiful effort that Allah Azza wa Jal used Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi to revive. From amongst the thousands of things in there that are benefits of it, one great benefit is it creates a sense of ummah. It creates a sense of community. It creates a sense of loving one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is gone from the ummah right now. If you try to shake hands, they say, "Bhai, do I know you?" That's what they'll say. "Salaam alaikum, bhai, how are you? Do I know you?" "No, I don't know you. You don't know me. But brother, we don't need to know each other to say salam." And this is from the signs of the hour. The Prophet ﷺ said, people will give salam to one another only if they know each other. If they don't know each other, they will not say salam to one another. This is what? The signs of what? The Day of Judgment. So this is one of the beautiful things that we learn through this beautiful effort, is that you go break those barriers. You say, "No, bhai, I am your brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Go to that tobacco store. Go to that vape store. Go to that alcohol. Go to that bar. Go to that club. Go to that anything. And you go bring. This is this person who is sitting there, who's the owner. He's also ummati of Rasulullah. He's a reciter of kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Just because he's sitting there does not mean he has no place in Islam. He is a Muslim. I myself had the honor of going visiting people in owners in their liquor stores. And I spoke to them in Arabic because they were Arabs. And as I started the hadith or verse of the Quran, by Allah, Allah is my witness, they would finish that. Not only they would finish the complete the ayah of the Quran, they would actually complete the hadith. One hand, a bottle of liquor, another hand is either cigarettes or lottery. "Brother, I'm very busy. I'm very busy." "Yes." "Qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa complete the hadith for me." What's going on? We are one block away from the masjid. Our masjid where we were staying at was one block away. I'm telling you, from Chicago. I'm not over out of state. Those of us who go on the path of Allah know the entire states. They are like almost every single liquor store there, vape store there, is owned by Muslims. And you know, cigarettes and tobacco and everything else. But the worst of it all is liquor. All the ummah of Rasulullah, who's going to go work on them? The guy says, "Brother, I'm busy." I said, "How late?" "I'm busy till 2 a.m. "Where are you staying at?" "I'm staying in the masjid next door." "Okay, if you're awake at 2 a.m. "Well, okay, I will stay awake for you. If you're going to come at 2, I'll be here." But these people, everyone needs reminders. So let's not act like we are some special angels that were born from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chosen to be the most pious people. We're all sinners. We're still sinners. We'll always be sinners. We come from sinners. Allah used someone to guide us and to guide our parents. Hence, we should never look down upon, speak ill of those who are involved in the effort of da'wah, whose goal is to also bring guidance to people while trying themselves to remain guided. So this was all about on the aspect of love, which we started off with the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted the love he had for him. And then let's end with this. He said, "Make sure, because I love you, I'm telling you, do not forget to recite after every single salah." Can we all read it together? Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Right? Oh Allah, a'inna. Oh Allah, assist us. We're asking Allah for assistance. Number one, we're asking Allah to assist us in remembering Him. We cannot do dhikr from the tongue nor from the heart without remembering Him. If Allah inspires you, you'll be able to do 10,000 salawat a day. You'll be able to do 10,000 istighfar a day. You can. Chalte pirte, wherever you are, your tongue will be moving. Your heart will be beating with Allah, Allah, Allah. It happens. There are lots of people like that. Thousands. How do they do that? Because Allah has given them tawfiq. So we need tawfiq. So ask Allah after every salah. "Ya Allah, I need your help to be able to remember you." Number two, we need Allah's help to be grateful and thankful to Him. Shukrika. We're saying, "Ya Allah, please enable me to always be grateful. La in shakartum la azidannakum." If you are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I'm going to increase you more." So if you want to be able to do more dhikr, more shukr, more taraweeh, more qiyamul layl, more sadaqah, constantly thank Allah for the tawfiq you've already had. And number three, wa husni ibadatik. Not just ibadah, husni ibadatik. Allow me, help me to worship you beautifully. Because we don't want to just worship Allah up and down, kiss the ground. We want to worship Allah properly. And that ability to properly, with your heart, mind, and soul, to worship Allah, who's going to give us that tawfiq? Allah will. So this is the dua that we need to be reciting after every salah. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa saying this, I'm saying this out of love for you. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I from amongst those who not only recite this dua after every salah, but also for whom this dua is accepted. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Let us inshallah proceed downstairs as we conclude with dua inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انت السلام ولك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا احد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والارض يا ذا الجلال والاكرام والعزه التي لا ترام سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنه عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم أذهب عنا الهم والحزن اللهم أذهب عنا الهم والحزن اللهم أذهب عنا الهم والحزن اللهم أذهب عنا غيظ قلوبنا اللهم أذهب عنا غيظ قلوبنا اللهم أذهب عنا غيظ قلوبنا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نسألك لسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا وعينا دامعا ونفسا مطمئنة بك وبلقائك Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive our major and minor sins, those that are committed by day and by night, collectively and individually, once or repeatedly, knowingly or unknowingly. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us forgiveness. Oh Allah, we ask you that as we repent to you, please accept our repentance. As we repent to you, please accept our repentance. Oh Allah, create within us immense level of remorse from our sins. Oh Allah, create within us a resolve and self-discipline. Oh Allah, and a self-determination not to return back to a life of sin. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us the willpower. Grant us strong amounts and large amounts of willpower to stay away from any and all disobedience of yours. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us a life that is pleasing to you in every sense of the word. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant us the ability to follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lifestyle in every aspect of our life. Oh Allah, we ask you to, from all of our all aspects of our life, allow us to become a representation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, allow us to have our hearts clean for one another. Save us from having hard feelings, ill feelings towards one another. Oh Allah, save us from harboring jealousy, hatred. Oh Allah, save us from harboring, Ya Allah, misunderstandings, wasawis about one another. Oh Allah, we ask you to join our hearts, unite our hearts together. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to grant us all muhabba and love, ishq of the Quran. Oh Allah, make us all lovers of the Quran. Allow us to recite the Quran the way it was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, please allow us to recite Quran beyond our expectations. Oh Allah, every single hour of the time that we're awake, allow us to dedicate a portion of that hour to recitation of the Quran. Oh Allah, make us amongst those who make an effort to understand the meanings of the Quran and make an effort to understand and listen to the tafsir of the Quran and implement it into their lives. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept these services in the khidmah of all of our volunteers, of our patrons, our well-wishers, our asatid, our tulaba, Oh Allah, our musallis, our attendees of the programs. Ya Allah, we ask you to grant protection for all of us from any and all evil effects of hasad, of sihr, of ayn, the evil effects of our shaitan and the evil effects of our past sins. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen.